continue our conversation here on Watering for Survival through the Arizona and Southwest desert summer. A little bit of a drought season we had this week in particular. How many days over 110? I think they all were.
Last year?
Yeah. No, this week.
Oh, this week, yeah. Well, yeah, a good stretch, and hopefully it's not a repeat of last year. But it is what generally the experts will tell you you got to have in June to get the monsoons going in July, is get that heat pump going, and that, you know, starts pumping that moisture that gets that, whatever it is, the high pressure, and gets in the right place and all that stuff. So let's hope that happens shortly and lasts a long time this year. We are in desperate need of moisture in the whole state. We've got fires already going this week, some bad ones, and hopefully that's not just a tale of things to come. But keep our fingers crossed and our prayers in the air.
And if you're looking at your landscape, garden, plants, trees, and something's looking a little stressed, you know, it might mean a little more water. Or if you're concerned about the water, maybe it means you need to replace that tree with something a little less water using.
This is a great time to evaluate things. If, again, don't be watering a plant you don't like or doesn't look good to begin with. Let's get rid of it. Cap the dripper till fall and till you make a decision on what you want to do. Let's be a little more proactive, taking bad, ugly, or misplaced plants out of the landscape and replace them with things that are more appropriate. Let's also think about mulching. Putting a layer of organic shredded bark, mulch, something to help keep that moisture in the ground longer, keep the roots of that plant cooler. I often equate mulching to putting a wet rag on the back of your neck when it's really hot. It just lowers your body temperature. Well, lowering the soil temperature to plants and holding moisture there is just is a life-saving at some point. Those plants will go a lot longer, between waterings if we do have really hot stretches, days that it's 115. That means that. So if it's 115, we figure at 10 o'clock it's going to go up 10 degrees. It's 105 degrees already at 10 o'clock in the morning if the high is 115. And it's probably still about that at 10 o'clock at night, and it's still in the hundreds anyway. So plants have a very hard time recovering. So if you can keep those soil temperatures down, keep that moisture more consistent in the soil, so it doesn't just dry out, boom, and you have to water and replace it, and then it dries out quick. Allows those plants to have a period of recovery and get through those really brutal times a lot easier.
So that brings up an interesting question. Is it better than to water at night in the summer? Which can be hard to know if you've got leaks because unless you're walking around the next day and looking for excessive wet spots or using a soil probe.
Well, with drip irrigation, if you're not spraying water, it probably doesn't really matter because you're trying to water enough to get the soil wet to a certain depth that the plant won't dry out quickly anyway. If you go to the AMWA, Arizona Municipal Water Users Association website, and click on that watering by the numbers guide, it will tell you based on the size of the plants how much water, how many gallons of water that plant will need to wet the root ball to a certain depth. It's efficient way to water. So if you've got a plant, a shrub, that's a small shrub, you need to get it a certain depth. If you've got a big tree, get it a certain depth. Well, you can then, if you know how many gallons it takes to do that, and you know your drip system is putting on X amount of gallons an hour, then you know how long you need to run that drip system to deliver that much water to that plant. Now, you got to make sure the drip emitters are working properly. You got to make sure you got enough of them around the canopy of the plant, those sorts of things. And those are all things you should be doing. Well, if you were really on top of it, you should have already done before now, like in May when it was cooler. Now you're out there when it's hot, and you might have plants that are stressed already because you weren't getting the water deep enough so that they could survive long enough. What people end up doing with drip irrigation systems, though, is using them like a conventional old bubbler or flood irrigation system. They run them pretty frequently, and they don't run them very long. If you have a drip irrigation emitter that, let's just say, somewhere between 1 and 4 gallons an hour, and you run it for 20 minutes, well, that's a third of an hour. So that's somewhere between a third and 1 1/3 gallons of water that you're putting on that plant. Well, take a gallon milk jug full of water and go dump that on that plant and see what that does for you. It's not very much water. But if you'll do that, and let's say you put 10 or 15 or 20 gallons of water on that plant over several hours, then go out after 3 or 4 or 5 days and you don't need an expensive soil probe to do that. A piece of rebar, anything that can be driven into the ground or pushed into the ground. Number one, if you can push it into the ground pretty easy, it's probably still fairly moist. If you have to hammer it in, you can still pull it out and see how moist or dry the dirt is. If you can't get it in the ground at all, it's probably pretty dry.
Now, that can be deceiving, and we'll talk a little bit about soil probes a little bit more after the bottom of our news break. We can do a lot of things, but we can't stop the clock. Water, the key to life here in the desert Southwest.